You are listening to the 1440 podcast. 1440 is the youth ministry of Eagle Mountain Church in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information and for more resources, visit 1440.com.
Cool. All right. Original intent. First and foremost, the definition of the word original. To present definition of original. Present or existing from the beginning, first or earliest, created directly and personally by a particular artist, not a copy or an imitation. Definition of intent is intention or purpose. Intention or purpose. Now, I don't know what the dictionary did, but I learned that you're not supposed to define a word with the word. When I looked up intent and it said intention, I said, I see what you did there. But I think that's cheating, all right? So the definition of intent that we will be using during this series is purpose. 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 Original is existing from the beginning, at the very first, and intent is purpose. Purpose. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever tried to use a shoe for a hammer? Yes. If, raise your hand if you ever used a shoe for a hammer. You lazy scoundrel. Wouldn't go to the garage. Raise it up again. Raise it high. Raise it high. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay, put your hand down. Have you ever tried to use your teeth to crack a nut? Y'all gonna be, all right, keep playing around, lazy bear mouth scoundrels. Anyway, all right, have you ever walked outside in your socks? Not your shoes and not your bare feet, but just your socks. Like you were using your socks as shoes. Raise your hand. All right, put your hand down. Now, let me ask you something. When you used your shoe as a hammer, did it work?
Yes.
How many said, yeah, it worked? How many said, no, it failed miserably? All right. When you used your teeth as a nutcracker, all right,
no.
Did it work every time?
No.
How many of you, it works every time? Man, y'all got some serious teeth. How many of you are like, no, I end up in pain and still I don't have any nuts? Raise your hand. All right. When you walk outside in your socks, do the socks protect your feet?
No.
How many of you say the socks protect my feet? Raise your hand high now. Raise your hand high. How many of you say not even close?
No.
All right. You walk outside, you come back, your feet wet. All right. Here's my point in asking those questions. If you try to use something that was not intended to do a certain job, to do that job, you get mixed results, right? Like, you don't always hit the mark. If you try to use your shoe as a hammer, it may work every once in a while, but eventually you're gonna jack your shoe up. Or you're going to jack your wall up, right? Because you're going to be trying to chisel. You're just going to turn into a chisel and there'll be no paint. Like you tried to put a hole in the wall that big and there's a hole in the wall this big, then part of it looks like your heel, right? If you always walk around in socks trying to use them as tennis shoes, your feet will bleed. I'm just telling you. I know that you can pray for healing later on, but I'm telling you that the momentary stupidity will end badly, okay? Right? Like you're going to get wet feet and like socks just don't protect your feet like they're supposed to. If you always use your teeth to crack nuts, at one of these days you're going to get a hold of a pecan that just wants to fight back. And you're going to have to like go and get a molar repair or something. I am of the opinion that things that were intended to be used a certain way ought to be used for that. That's just me. I realize that you don't get down like that. I realize that you try to find 15 jobs for one thing. But I am of the opinion that if a car was made to drive on pavement, you probably ought not try to drive it in the woods. That's why they make four-wheel drive trucks. Right? Right? That's just me. Now, not everybody agrees with me, but some very smart people do agree with me. All right? Now, there's some people, how many of you disagree with me? All right? There's some people who don't necessarily agree with me. They're smart, too. I'm not saying they're dumb. I get it. But I think that Disney did a movie, and in a certain movie, in a certain clip, they illustrate this point pretty doggone well. The irony and the hilarious nature of trying to use things for one thing when they were meant for something totally different. Take a look at this.
Whoa, what a swim.
Scuttle, look what we found.
Yeah, we're in the sunken ship, and it was really creepy.
Human stuff, huh? Hey, let me see. Oh, look at this. Wow, this is special. This is very, very unusual.
What? What is it?
It's a dingle hopper. Humans use these little babies to straighten their hair out. See, just a little twirl here and a yank there, and boy, ole. You got an aesthetically pleasing configuration of hair that humans go nuts over.
A dingle hopper. What about that one?
Ah, this. I haven't seen in years. This is wonderful. A banded, bulbous snarflat.
Oh.
Now, the snarflat dates back to prehistorical times when humans used to sit around and stare at each other all day. Got very boring. So, they invented this snarflat to make fine music. Allow me.
How many ladies in here want to use a dingle hopper to do your hair? Put your hand down. You don't want a dingle hopper. And we're not even going to talk about a snarf blaster. We're just going to leave that alone. All right. So my point is this. There are things that you can use that were intended to do a job, and you can use them for a different job. And those things may work sometimes. But if you want a guarantee that what you're trying to get done will get done, you should probably use the tool that was intended to do that thing. I can guarantee you this, a hammer will drive a nail every time. Everything. Now, some of y'all can't use a hammer right. And instead of your nail going like that, your nail go like that. And that's a sad situation. But if you know what you're doing, it'll work. What happens when you try to use something or something tries to do something that it was never intended to do? Think about it for a second. What happens when something tries to be something or to do something it was never designed to do? There are like five or six different answers. Tell me what you said. It doesn't work right. What else? Huh? It can change. Somebody said something else. What? It could work better with the original tool. Somebody, I heard somebody say something that I found pretty Holy Ghost. Who said it? Somebody said, what'd you say? It disappoints you every time. That's true. That's Holy Ghost. I got some Holy Ghost on it too. Hallelujah. But there was something else. Somebody said something else. What did you say? It fails. That's, yeah, but somebody said it starts to change. It changes itself. It changes itself. It changes itself. It changes itself. I'm going to ask a very hard question to some super kids in the room. How many super kids do I have in the room? Raise your hand. If you're not a super kid, that's okay. But this question applies to you, but I definitely want to direct this to some super kids. How many people have you seen that were in super kids with you? Now, I'm not asking you to say any names. As a matter of fact, I'm telling you don't say names. But how many people have you known that were in super kids with you or used to be in church with you, or maybe they were in 1440 with you? They got away from being in the Word, and the next time you saw them, they changed. They changed. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to raise your hand. This is just a question. Now, for those non-super kids, apply that same question to any other situation you like, people, kids at school, or friends in the family, or friends that you've known since they were young. They were one way, and you used to just really enjoy the time that you spent with them or did whatever, or they were wholesome, they were nice. And then they got into something that they had no business being in, and the next time you came in contact with that person, there were things about that person. Maybe you weren't even able to tell exactly what the thing was. There was just something about them that was different, and it wasn't different good. It was different bad. Every time you use a shoe as a hammer, you're going to injure a part of that shoe. Whether you can see it or not, like a shoe was not invented or intended to be used as a hammer, so it's not protected from that kind of trauma, right? Like the heel is going to, something in the heel is going to mess up. You keep doing it and keep doing it, keep doing it. Or you're going to puncture a hole in the shoe or something. You run outside on the concrete in your socks, eventually your socks are going to have holes in them. Why? Well, they weren't intended for that type of use. When you, as an individual, do things that you were never intended to do, you will find that something somewhere inside of you will break. No matter what. No matter what. And there's literally, legit, no type of caveat to what I'm saying. There's no exception to this. There's no exception to this. When you get outside of what God intended for your life, you put yourself at risk, and something inside you begins to break and long for the protection of being under the covering that God intended you to stay under in the first place. Now, I use a lot of funny stuff to illustrate this point, but this really is a serious, central thought process that we need to engage in as we start a new year. The question is this: why are you here? What are you doing here? What is your purpose? What were you created to do? What is your intent? And I'm not talking about your intent as your mom told you or your dad told you. Those are really good people to draw ideas from what you're supposed to be, and they're supposed to have a revelation of who you are in the kingdom. I'm talking about what has God said about you. You see, God has spoken something about every person sitting in this room. Whether he has spoken it corporately in his word or personally in your devotion time, God is talking to you. And he has said something about you. He has something to say about what you're supposed to be doing, where you're supposed to be going, and what his original design was for your life. And here's the thing about it. He hasn't just laid it out in the open for everybody to see. He hasn't. He hasn't. It's not like he took you and just rolled all the information out at your feet. He's reserved those things that he thinks about you specifically for you and him. Specifically between you and him. Now, he doesn't want to keep them from you. He's not trying to keep you in the dark. He desperately desires to share his plan, his master plan with you. But see, God values the intimate time that you have with him. That closeness. And some things he's just reserved for just those sweet moments that you have with him. Now, I don't want you to just take my advice for it or my word for it. I have scripture for it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I know I gave y'all chapter 9, my bad. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 through 10 says this. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Now watch this. A lot of people will read this and say, well, God talks in mysteries, and the Bible says that he moves and does things in mysterious ways. Well, let's not misunderstand this, okay? Watch what it says. The wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of men the things which God has prepared for those who what? Love him. He's prepared a plan before you were ever born, specifically for those who love him. Now watch this. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all the things, yes, the deep things of God. See, it's kind of like a master design, a master plan. Like a concept that nobody else needs to be in on except the Creator and the Son of the Creator and the Holy Spirit, the one who communicates the plan to the individual that is being shaped and formed into what is being planned out. And it's not that you don't have access to know what the plan is. He calls you, beckons you into a place for you to know what the plan is. But you have a choice to make. Either you can choose to live according to your intent, or you can choose to try to do something you were never built to do in the first place. And the only way you'll know the difference is to get closer to the one with the master plan. God is a genius. And he has designed you and your future with such precision and detail. And the only way you'll ever be able to know what it is to talk to him. He made it so that the only person that could reveal what it is that you're supposed to do is him. Now, he may reveal it through another person, but once he reveals it to another person, it's going to be up to you to go find out the details about it. I can lay my hands on you, and I'm going to do it to him because I already know what we've already been through this, but I can lay my hands on him and say, you are a pastor. Well, that's nice. But what that means to me and what that means to him could be totally different things. I'm serious. It could be totally different things. And it's up to him to go figure out Well, let me re-say that. It's up to him to get close to God so that God can reveal it to him. He doesn't have to figure it out. He has to go to the one with the information. And we're going to learn the difference between that, because I got to repent for this, because we've been using the wrong vernacular. We've been saying stuff like, you got to figure out what your calling is. Baby, you don't have to figure out what your calling is. Let me go ahead and help you right there. Just take some pressure up off of you. I taught this last night at the bridge. When I taught it, the Lord spoke to me while I was saying it and said, you need to say this to 1440 as well. You don't have to figure out what your calling is. Your calling was ordained before the foundations of the earth, before the earth was ever set into motion. God knew exactly what you were called to be. You don't have to figure it out. It's not like you got to come up with an answer. You don't. You just got to get close enough to the person with the answer to get the answer. Anybody in here ever cheated on a test? Don't raise your hand. You ain't got to tell on yourself. Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. But unless you've worked out some kind of secret communication system, you can't cheat very effectively sitting across the room from the person you want to cheat off of. You got to get right up on them. Right there next to them. What'd you get for number seven? What'd you get for number seven? Tell me what you got for number seven.
Okay.
Just saying. You have got to get close enough to God for him to begin to reveal the deep things to you. You see, we've scratched the surface level of some great things of God, some great moves of God. We've seen some healings, we've seen some deliverances, we've seen some people being set free. But here's the thing, if we don't get close enough to hear the deep things of God, we're only ever gonna stay on the surface. And the surface is not fun, baby. The surface is not fun. The surface is not fun. The surface is just excitement. That ain't real fun. The surface is just excitement. That's not real fun. I want to get with a group of y'all and be like, all right, so how many people are we going to get healed today? Where are we going to go? That's fun. You get into some deep stuff. Where are we going to go today? Where are we going to go today? Okay, we're getting on the plane. Where are we headed to start the revival? See, in order to get to that point of greatness and that magnitude of greatness, we've got to get close to the one with the plan. You got that? I want you to hear this same scripture from Corinthians in the Message version of the Bible. I thought this was just made me, that's what it made me do. Watch this. God's wisdom is something mysterious that goes deep into the interior of his purposes. You don't find it lying around on the surface. Look at that. You don't find it lying around on the surface. It's not the latest message, but it's more like the oldest.
Oh, that's good.
Huh, the original one. It's not the latest message. It's more like the oldest. What God determined as the way to bring out his best in us, long before we ever arrived on the scene. The experts of our day having a clue about the eternal plan of God, what his eternal plan is. If they had, they would not have crucified the master of the God-designed life on the cross. That's why we have the scripture text. No one's ever seen or heard anything like this. Never so much as imagined anything quite like it. What God has arranged for those who love him. But you've seen and heard it because God, by his Spirit, has brought it all out into the open before you. Just you. He wants you to know what your purpose is. He wants to give you a vision for what he sees in you. He wants you to know how special you are and how important you are in the kingdom. He wants us to be effective. In 2016 is the great year of increase and expansion for 1440. And we cannot increase nor can we expand until we know what we are designed to do. I want you to look at the anchor scripture for this whole entire series, Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. Jeremy, this is why when you said you were going to Jeremiah, I stopped in my tracks. I was like, this boy about to steal my scripture. And then I was like, well, it ain't my scripture, it's God's scripture. But you know what I'm saying. Jeremiah chapter 1, Look at it, starting at verse 4, it says this. When the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Not when I formed you in the womb. Before I formed you in the womb. Before we even started talking about you being born. Before you were even earthly designed, I knew what you were going to be like. I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak. I am a youth. Do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, and to build and to plant. You can't do those things on the surface. You can't root out unless you dig a little bit. You can't plant unless you're ready to go deeper. You've got to learn to ascertain the deep things of God concerning who you are. Now, I'm going to just, for kicks and giggles, because I thought it was awesome, read that to you in the Message Bible. It says this. This is what God said. I like the Message. The Message just be like, listen to me, boy. You think I wrote the Message. Anyway, listen. This is what God said. Before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you. A prophet to the nations. That's what I have in mind for you. But I said, hold it, Master God, look at me. I don't know anything. I'm only a boy. God said to me, don't say I am only a boy. I'll tell you where to go and you'll go there. I'll tell you what to say and you'll say it. Don't be afraid of a soul. I'll be right there looking after you. God's decree. God reached out, touched my mouth, and said, look, I've just put my words in your mouth, hand delivered. Now tell me something. If I'm going to put my words in your mouth, hand delivered, by touching your mouth with my hand, how close do you have to be to me? You got to draw, because if I'm trying to do that to Jeremy, I can't do it if I'm over here and he's over there. We got to get closer, right? You got to get close to the one with the plan, the master plan, the original designer of who you are. Look at what it says now. Hand delivered. See what I've done? I've given you a job to do among nations and governments, a red letter day. Your job is to pull up and tear down, take apart and demolish, and start over building and planting. Huh. Nations and governments. And we've been focused on schools. And parks. Nations and governments. That's why it's so important that you get the worship thing right. Because when you, that's why, you know what? Thank you, Lord. That's why it's important that you get the prayer thing right. Because if God's going to send you to nations and governments, you better know what you're doing. And the only person with the design to tell you what you're doing is the designer. Now, I want every person in here, if you're sleepy right now, stand up on your feet, shake yourself. That's okay. I mean, there's no condemnation. If you're sleepy, get up. If you're sleepy, stand up right now. Stand up, shake yourself. Just wake yourself up. Because I'm about to help you with something. I promise you, and I preached myself happy last night. When I saw this, it woof. Jesus, glory to God. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. I didn't, and I'm gonna be honest with you, I saw it sitting in my office as I was preparing for that message, but I didn't see the fullness of it until I came out here and I said something. Go to Romans chapter 12. Look at verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt each one the measure of faith. Now, I've taught this, you know, the beautiful thing about this is with you guys, I can fast forward a little bit from what I had to do at the bridge because I've taught this to you before. That if you read this scripture does not mean don't think highly of yourself. How many of you have heard me teach this before? This scripture does not mean don't think highly of yourself. This scripture actually says think according to what God thinks about you, right? Because it says don't think any more highly of yourself than you ought, which means that you ought to be thinking highly of yourself. Just don't think any higher than that. Right? Y'all got that?
Yes.
Some of y'all need to go back to English class. Sentence structure. You got that? Glory to God. All right, now, the part, though, that case, let's just go ahead and get to the good part. But to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. You need to think about yourself according to the measure of faith that has been dealt to you and the faith that you're operating in. Every person in here, if you are a Christian, are operating in some form of faith, right? Because you can't become a Christian without operating in faith, because you are saved by grace through faith. Sound like somebody killed your cat. We'll try that one more time. Because you are saved by grace through
faith.
There we go. All right. Glory to God. So since you are operating in some form of faith because you were saved by grace through faith, and let me give you a hint, you maintain your salvation by faith, right? Because if you don't, Satan will jack your world up. Satan will tell you stupid stuff like you ain't saved. Satan will tell you crazy stuff like you ain't saved. If you ever heard that from Satan, raise your hand. You ever heard him say, you ain't saved? You ain't saved. See, I'm telling you. And if you ain't never heard it, then glory to God. Keep operating in your faith. But you gotta maintain that salvation by faith. I'm holding on to my salvation by faith, right? All right. Every man's been dealt a measure of faith, and faith comes by
hearing.
And hearing by the
word of God.
So if you develop your faith by a constant hearing of the word of God, as you hear the word, your faith does what? It expands, it grows. There you go. Some of y'all been listening on Sunday morning. It expands, it grows. Now, having understood that, let me read something that Pastor George said this past Sunday morning. He said this, the degree of vision that you see is in direct correlation to the degree of faith you develop. How many people in here have the question, what do I need to be when I grow up? I'm looking for my calling. I'm waiting on God to show me the details of my calling. Raise your hand. I'm trying to figure out what the details of my calling are. I'm trying to find the plan for my life. I'm trying to figure out what it is that I need to be doing. All right. I'm about to help you massively at the beginning of 2016 because I believe that 2016 is going to be an earmarked year where God reveals more to you in a month than he's revealed to you your whole life. Here's how it's going to happen. From now on, say now on.
Now on.
How long is that?
Now.
From now on. Right. From now on, you are to no longer focus on trying to figure out what your calling is or any of the details. Big statement. I know it. I can back it up. It's all good. Big statement. From now on, you are to no longer focus. Put my scripture back up there. You are to no longer focus on trying to figure out what you're called to do or the details of your calling. Say okay.
Okay.
Say yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Very good. All right. Now, I'm going to tell you why. Look at what it says the last part. According to as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. What are we talking about in the context of the measure of faith? For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought, but to think soberly. So we're figuring out how to think soberly about ourselves and what God sees in us, to catch a God vision of who we are, to catch a God vision of our intent, to catch a God vision of our calling. Something else Pastor George says, let God paint a faith picture on the inside of you of what it is that you ought to be doing, where you ought to be going, and how you ought to be getting there. You got that? Now, faith comes by and hearing by the
word of God.
What if the reason you have not heard your calling? What if the reason you don't have any more clarification about what you're supposed to be doing is because your faith has not expanded to the place to where God can fit it in your understanding and in your knowing? What if your calling is so big, but your faith is still right here? Doesn't the Bible say he won't put more on you than you can bear, than you can stand? He will not allow you to be tempted, or if he won't allow you to be tempted by the devil more than you can bear, what makes you think he's going to put more on you than what you can bear? Right? So what if your calling is agreste becola? I feel this so much in my spirit. What if your calling is so enormous that the reason God has not been talking to you about it is because you can't take it? What if you got to develop your faith to the point to where you expand your capacity a little bit more to believe for what God is about to drop on you? What if you've been believing for your school, but God said, I've called you to nations? And the reason I can't tell you anything else about your calling is because you're so focused on what's in front of you, and I want you to focus on building your faith. I want you to focus on faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I want you to get into the word. I want you to get into my word and listen to me so that I can start. See, you got to start understanding that exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. You got to start, if when you ask, believe that you receive what you pray for and you will have it. You got to start getting to the basics of that faith understanding, and then understand what your authority is and how you can use your ministering spirits, how you can use your angels, how you can use the giftings and the callings on your life to expand your capacity to believe that God could do something so enormous in you. Some of y'all are still focused on what your mom and what your daddy did. You're going to have to divinely forget the stuff that they went through, or the way they grew up, or what happened 5 years ago. I'm gonna tell you the truth. Spring Retreat ought to fill up after this sermon. Because maybe, just maybe, you haven't signed up yet because you haven't expanded your capacity to believe in what it's going to take after you put your name on the line and say, I'm going no matter what. My daughter is believing to go to a $400 camp and she is 7. She is 7 years old. She's believing to go to a $400 camp. She FaceTimed her grandmother, who is Baptist. She Baptist-causal. It's okay. They coming over. She FaceTimed her grandmother and said, Nana, God told me I was going. She didn't say, I want to go. She didn't say, I might go. She didn't say, if mom and daddy can get the money, I'm going. She said, God told me I was going. I know it's my destiny to go, so I'm going. I've probably given her, I don't know, $30, $40 toward this camp. Maybe. She made the first payment, and she's almost ready to make the next one. On her faith. 7 years old. Her faith. Maybe you haven't gotten the message yet because you have not expanded yourself enough to be able to get what God wants to do for you. Now, look, some of y'all are looking at me like you're getting a beating. Some of y'all are looking at me like you acted up at the grocery store. I said, I'm going to whoop you when we get home and we on the car ride. Is he serious? I'm going to get a beating. You back there riding your wheel. Right? Some of y'all look, but I'm serious. Listen, it does not, you're faith people. You were designed to operate in faith. You were designed to operate in faith. Now, I'm going to reveal some things. Maybe I need to wait till next week and let this sink in. I got, about 10 or 15 more minutes. We're going to start. We may not finish. We'll start. But I'm about to reveal some things to you that God says about your original intent. Here's a question. Can you take it? I got about 4 yeses. Everybody else is trying to, I don't know. You don't never know what this man going to say next. Can you take it? I'm not telling you anything that's not in the Bible. It'd be different if I was up here just talking to you because Pastor John thinks this sounds good, right? But the prophetic word, the prophetic voices that control this ministry, the prophetic utterances that are released from this ministry have spoken this to be the great year. I can't have a great youth group allowing students to be mediocre. That's on me, y'all. That's on me. Pastors are a gift that are given for the edifying of the body, for the working of the ministry. If the working of the ministry is to be great, then it's my job to edify you to greatness. Amen? So let's look at what the word says about who you are. Go to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to start from the beginning. The beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Period. Period. Now listen, here's the thing. Between verse 1 and verse 2, there's a whole lot you need to know. So I'm going to give you some homework. You ready for this?
Yes, sir.
Every Bible nerd in here, I'm going to just go ahead on and warn you. We're talking about greatness. Say, I want to be great. Now, don't lie. I'm going to let you say it again. Everybody who don't want to be great, you can just be quiet and watch the rest of us be great. All right? But everybody who wants to be great, say, I want to be great.
I want to be great.
Good. Hallelujah. Here's your homework. Now, say, I'm going to do my homework. All right. Now, I'm going to catch you. I'm going to catch you because next week I'm going to think you have done your homework. There's some things that are about to be released on social media. Some things that are going to be put up on the website, you're going to have to be looking at them and watching for them because I'm going to be doing some stuff next service. I'm just warning you that you're going to need to know, all right? And I can't hold your hand all week, okay? But if you weren't lying to me just now and you said, I want to be great, I'm about to give you some tools to be great. You're going to have to do this. You're going to have to go back to kcm.org. Go to kcm.org. Go to kcm.org, and you're going to watch Billy Brim and Sister Gloria Copeland's broadcast from these dates. You're going to watch them from November 9th, starting with the broadcast on November 9th. Watch them through November 20th. Go back and catch them from November 9th through November 20th. If you do it right, it's about 4.5 to 5 hours worth of broadcast. Each broadcast is roughly 30 minutes. If you do it right, it's 4.5 to 5 hours, 4.5 and some change maybe, of broadcast. But it's some basic learning and some teaching about what happens between Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2 and what your end time assignment is considering that information. Okay? You need to know this when we're talking about what God originally designed you to be. How many people going to actually do it? Raise your hand if you're going to actually do it. All right, put your hand down. All the rest of you, shame on you. Actually, no shame. I find no fault in you. I'm just saying. You need to go and do the right thing. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. All I'm talking about is Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. God created the heavens and the earth. Who do the heavens and the earth belong to? Originally intended to belong to who? Who?
God.
Who?
God.
Who made them?
God.
Who created them?
God.
Does God make anything jacked up?
No.
Does he make anything bad?
No.
Does he make anything messed up?
No.
So if God doesn't make anything messed up, doesn't make anything bad, doesn't make anything jacked up, when he created the heavens and the earth, they were what? Perfect. Right? All right. Now, look at verse 24. Then God said, go to verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps along the earth. Original intent. All right? Now, there's more than this, but this is the first part. I taught those, all my nerds from the intensive this past Sunday morning, raise your hand. If you were in the intensive, glory to God. You should have been in the intensive because you should have got this, all right? I taught you that there's no shadow of turning in God. There's no change. So if in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, he says, and God said, let us create man in our image and in our likeness. Is it up there? Let's see. Let us create man in our image after our likeness. Let's just stop right there at that colon. Your original intent was to look like God and to act like God. We don't say this enough. I just felt that in my spirit. I just felt that in my Holy Ghost inhabited spirit. We do not say this enough. I wish you would have, and I know that you are going to have ears to hear. You got ears to hear. You were created to look like God and act like God.
Yeah.
Look like God and act like God. Look like God, act like God. Look like God, act like God. There are three parts to the Godhead: Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. When God said, let us make, who do you think he was talking to? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And he said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So you need to look like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's who you're supposed to look like. You literally what?
I was praying the other night and I was reading Genesis and I was like, who is our?
That's who our is. That's who our is. You need to look like the head of your family. Three people, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. That's who you were created to look like and act like. Look like and act like. Look like,
look like.
And act like.
And act like.
Now those two things are very important. Because you got to understand, he says, let us make them in our image, that's to look like, and then after our likeness, let them do things like we do it. Spoiler alert. Because God put Adam in the garden and told him to tend it and take care of it, but didn't give him not one tractor. So how was Adam supposed to take care of the garden? He was supposed to do it like who? You're supposed to look like God and? Because now you're going to start getting a revelation of how you're supposed to do things. This is the crux or the root of the reason why we may have to extend this series. This is the crux and the root of why you don't need to try to figure out what your calling is. Who are you supposed to look like? Who are you supposed to act like? Do you think God's trying to figure out what his calling is? Well, he ain't. Do you think God's trying to figure out what his calling is? No. No. Jesus told his disciples, when the Helper comes, when the Holy Ghost is revealed, he will not speak of his own, but he will reveal things that of mine to you. He will show you my stuff, which means he won't come up with his own stuff. He'll just hear what he hears and bring it to you. What if you didn't have to come up with your own stuff? What if all you had to do was look like God and act like God, look like the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, act like the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and say, okay, what did you say, God? Okay, I'm going to reveal that to them. Hey, family, I've been talking to the Lord, and the Lord says I'm supposed to be a doctor. So I'm just revealing to you what is of the Father's. I'll let you know more when I get more direction. And then you go back to where the Father is. And you keep seeking the Father until you get more direction. And that's when you come back and say, hey, family, God said I'm supposed to go to Yale on a full scholarship. I'll come back to you whenever I get some more. And then you go back to the Father. Expand your capacity to believe. What if you have not heard what your calling is because you have not expanded your faith to take it? We got 9 minutes. After the colon. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the cattle and all of the earth and everything that creeps on the earth. Now, right here, go back over and look at Genesis. Chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the... So who does the earth belong to? And so over here, he says, let him have dominion over the... So whose is it to give dominion over? God's, right? It's his. It belongs to his. And he says, let man have it. So not only were you created to look like God and act like God, you were created to take care of God's stuff because God's stuff is your stuff. Now, let's go. Remember, we're learning original intent, right? Right? We're starting from the beginning. There's no shadow of turning in God, which means if it was always God's intention to give you his stuff, that means today it's his intention to give you what? It's his intention to give you what?
His stuff.
So if it's God's intention to give you his stuff today, just like it was God's intention for you to get his stuff back then, you ought to be able to get everything that belongs to who? God. Oh, I'm not just reading one scripture I'm just teaching you this right now because there's more scripture that says that it pleases God to give you the kingdom. It brings pleasure to God to give you his stuff. Now, whenever he created Adam and said, here's the earth, have dominion over it, did God say, okay, Adam, all of this is mine. And you are to have dominion over this spot. Just that one. No. He said, have dominion over the earth. All of it. Which means that you were created to have, write this down, total dominion. Total, I'm going to make every religious devil just angry because religion does not want you to hear this. Religion wants you to try to figure out how to please somebody or stay in man's-made system so that you can look like a Christian. I'm telling you how to really live like Christianity was intended to be. Total dominion. Total, God doesn't change his mind. You can't say God doesn't change his mind in one area and then think he changed his mind in another one. You're supposed to have total dominion. You're supposed to have total dominion. You're supposed to have total dominion, which means a test score is not supposed to affect how you see yourself. Who's got dominion? If a test score affects how you see yourself, who's got dominion in that situation? You or the test score?
Test score.
Huh. It also means a math test is not supposed to freak you out. If a math test freaks you out, who's got dominion in that situation? You or the math test?
Math test.
You're supposed to go into that situation going, I know everything on that test. I am, and even the things that I don't know are being revealed to me right now by my Father. My Father said I have dominion in the earth, and right now I command my ministering spirits that are surrounding me to go get whatever knowledge I need and bring it unto me, and I'm going to do this test by faith. See, y'all don't take tests like that. Y'all take tests like this. I can't log in. I don't even remember my login. What's the password? I don't even know. What am I supposed to do? I ain't gonna ever go to college because I just flunked this and totally I bombed that one. Total dominion. Baby, we ain't even left verse 26 yet. And we've learned that you're supposed to look like God, act like God, and have total dominion over everything in the earth. I don't know if you know it or not, but a math test is not floating in orbit. It is in the earth. It is in the earth. And I got dominion over everything in the earth. It is in the earth. Put my scripture back up there. I want you to see the sermon graphic. It's really cool, but you can put that on your Facebook. Put the picture, put the scripture back up there. Genesis 1:26. Over all the earth and every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. I'll say, go to the next scripture. I'm going to try to squeeze this one in like 3 minutes. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Now, what you need to understand is that everybody in here is mankind. All right? Now, I'm going to make the feminist mad too, but that's whatever. Everybody in here is mankind. All right? Mankind is your species. Male and female happen to be your sex. But mankind is your species. Whether you're male or whether you're female, I know some of y'all, he said sex, whatever. Whatever. Male and female are your subdivisions if you need to go there. Right? But mankind is your species. Now, you need to know that. That's important because the Bible says some pretty prolific things about all of mankind. He says some awesome stuff about mankind, and all of that applies to your original intent. The Bible is constantly revealing what God's intention is for mankind, right? And if you're not careful, you'll gloss over that. Oh, that's for everybody else, but that ain't for me. No, you mankind, baby. You are mankind, right? And so he created them, male and female, he created them. 2 more minutes, go to the next scripture. And God blessed them. I want to leave you with one beautiful statement we'll pick up here next week. You were created to be blessed. Clap over that. Glory to God. Glory. Yeah, you can take it. Glory to God. You mean to tell me I look like God. I'm supposed to act like God. I was created in God's image completely. I have dominion. Whether I'm a man or a woman or not, I still have dominion. And everything that the Bible says about mankind applies to me. And not only that, but my original intent was to be blessed. This is enough for you to go home, sleep like a baby tonight, wake up tomorrow morning and conquer everything around you. What are you doing, Pastor John? Oh, I'm just expanding your faith. I'm just expanding your faith. I'm just enlarging your capacity to believe. Because if I don't, we will not get to the greatness that God wants us to get to in 2016. But if I do, and we collectively expand our ability and capacity to believe God for greatness, then that means that you get greatness, you get greatness, you get greatness, you get greatness, and you get greatness. But when y'all come together, I have not seen Ear has not heard, neither has entered into the hearts of man what God has in store for us.
Yeah.
That greatness is going to be massive. We're picking up right there next week.
Thank you for listening to the 1440 podcast. If the Lord has ministered to you in a big way through this time, we want to hear about it. You can email us at testify@1440online.com.